Again, we're in the summer of wisdom. Wisdom is knowing right and doing right. That's what wisdom is. Knowledge is just knowing. Doing, you can do things without actually doing it for the right reason, and that's what a Pharisee would do, is in the Old New Testament. Pharisees would just do stuff because that's what they were told to do, but they had no heart in it. And we want to live in wisdom where we know right, we do right, and then we live right. Have you heard this quote before? Everything is meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't heard it. Do you agree with that or disagree with that? Disagree with that, okay? Anybody agree with that? Who disagrees with that? Who are too afraid to raise your hand? Okay. Okay, well, the wisest man in the world actually said this. Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes. It's wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature, meaning in the Old Testament, we can read this and we can glean how to live and understand life. Here's what Solomon says. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. So what is Solomon actually saying? Is he really saying that every single thing in the whole universe, everything that we can possibly imagine is meaningless? Is that what he's saying? No, you see, what he's actually saying is, if you read through Ecclesiastes, there's several things that he says really is meaningless. And it's about our drive for life. The things that are meaningless would be the things like living for pleasure, or living just to work hard and make a lot of money, or living for good intimate relationships, living to make sure you become rich. Those are things that Solomon says really is meaningless. They're pointless. They're not the point of life. Here's the problem. If we were to just look at the phrase, everything is meaningless, there's a problem because it actually includes itself in the statement. So if this phrase, everything is meaningless, is also meaningless, then this phrase is self-redundant. It makes no sense. So not everything is meaningless. There are things that have meaning because these words mean something. These words do mean something. And that's the thing about life, is that words do mean something. They are very important. Have you ever thought about words and phrases and how things are put together? Why in the world would words be so important? You see, if words are not important, you and I right now would be absolutely wasting our time. Your time would be useless right now because you're sitting here listening to my words, hoping that you'll glean some meaning from what I have to say today. My desire is to compel you and your heart and your minds to do something. And I hope my words that I have today and that the Lord has through me has meaning to you. I asked AI to write me a meaningless, nonsensical statement, and here's what it said. The fluorescent geometry of an inverted whisper gently ironed the taste of Tuesday. That's what it came up with. I copied and pasted it right there. How many of you find deep meaning in these words? No, they're nonsensical. You might find meaning in one or two of those words, but when you put them all together, they make no sense whatsoever. So words are important. Words are very important. I want you to take a moment and consider the words that you've spoken today. The times that you've used your words. How many of them were intentional or useful? How many of your words were regretful? How about not just the words you've spoken, but what about the words you've listened to today? Or how much the words you've read? How many of those were encouraging or hopeful or honoring? What does wisdom require of you when it comes to the things that you say or the things that you hear or listen to? What does wisdom require of us? You see, here's the thing. Two points today. A wise person pays close attention to the words, first of all, that they hear. A wise person pays close attention to the things that they hear. Can listening be active or is it just passive? You see, it can be very active. Have you ever strained your ear to try to hear something? Maybe a particular bird in the midst of all these birds? Maybe someone's voice in a crowded room where all these people are talking? Maybe the sound of your engine when you can just tell there's something going on and you got to try to figure it out? You see, you know what it's like to listen so closely, to hear something so specific, even through the noise. Does anyone admit to wearing hearing aids or have ever worn hearing aids? Okay, good. Okay, so I have AirPods. I actually just put them in my bag, and I asked Angie to do that for me. AirPods are kind of cool because they plug your ears, and you can make it so that it cancels out the noise all around you. But you can also turn them on so that you can hear better. And there's actually a hearing aid function on these things that you can turn on, and it can determine what sounds you hear better than others, and it can actually amplify part of those sounds. It's really interesting. I think they're pretty awesome. And I love it because now I can be working where the loud noises don't go into my ears and damage my ears, but the quieter noises I can still hear just fine, even though I've got these in. Why do we have these technologies? It's because hearing is so important to our lives. Your spouse's voice, the vehicle behind you, your grandkids. We want to hear those things. We value hearing so much that if people are deaf, we have technology to help them hear. Those cochlear implants. They're intentionally invading the brain of somebody so that they can connect a wire inside their ear and their nerve, I think, right? And it causes them to have electrical function where they can start to hear something. We value it so much, we're going to actually do surgery on people. So hearing is very important. Here's what Solomon says, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. Listen to me. Here's what he says. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key of life. When you look at this, what is the second step after listening? Doing. My child, listen to me and do as I say. I would say this is more like hearing. Listening is doing. Hearing is totally different. Do you agree? You ever have somebody that they hear the words you say, but they're not going to listen to what you tell them? I've had that. What are the results if we choose to do what wisdom says, what Solomon says? In this list, he says that you're going to have a long life. He says you're going to have a good life. He says you're going to be led in straight paths. You're going to walk in freedom, and that you're going to have the keys to life. That's if we follow and do what we're hearing from Solomon. Friends, how good are your ears to the words of Solomon? If he were here to tell you something that what you did or what you're doing is going to lead to trouble, will you change? Is there anything in your life right now that you are certain Solomon would say to you, stop doing that? Friends, if that's the case, you might be hearing, but are you listening? What is the human condition that we choose not to listen to wisdom and suffer the consequences? Sometimes I think we need a spiritual cochlear implant. Something that will help us because, quite honestly, some of us simply won't listen. When you hear wisdom and you put your hands to your ear, are you cupping them to hear better? Or are you plugging them to drown it out? Solomon says that choosing not to listen is unwise. Listen to this and be wise. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. Is there anything in that list that wisdom is yelling to you about? This is what wisdom is speaking. Friends, will you listen? Well, why? Why should we listen? Why do we need to hear these words and do what they say? Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 says this. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Why? Why should we listen to this? Because they bring life to those who find them. I want life. I want to live life that is good, and I want healing to my body. I want to be able to have a whole life. And if we listen and heed to wisdom, we're going to have a life worth living. Doesn't that sound great? So when it comes to listening to something, are we listening to wisdom? Take a moment and think about the multiple things that you've listened to even today. The music you've listened to, is that speaking wisdom? Is it giving you life? Is their whole intention to give you life and healing for your whole life? How about the things you've watched on TV and listened to on TV? How about a podcast you've listened to? Maybe it's newspaper magazines that you're reading and putting into your head. Maybe it's the gossip that you've heard at work. Maybe it's Instagram or Snapchat, the things that are coming into your eyes and you're listening to them through your eyes. How many of those things are designed with your best future in mind? How many of those things are compelling you, I have the best life for you? See, are these things that you listen to working toward making you more wise and living a life of wisdom? Are there any changes wisdom is calling out to you that you need to change in regards of what you listen to? Because a wise person pays a close attention to the words that they hear. Not only does a wise person pay close attention to the things that they hear, they also pay close attention to the things that they say. This is point two, the things that we say. You see, wise words have, there are a list, I have a list of four, I believe, wise words that they consist. Wise words are, first of all, valuable. Does anyone follow the price of precious metals? Like, watch them online, how much they're worth? Have you ever done that? Like, you got gold and you got silver, you got copper. Silver, I know silver, I just looked this up. It's $116.62, so $116.62 per ounce. So if you have silver laying around, it's a pretty good price. It's gone down since about January. It was a lot higher, but it's still making some good money. Do you know what the most valuable precious metal is that you can find on the planet Earth? Most valuable. This precious metal is worth, let's see here, $765,436,299 per ounce. And that is californium. Californium. I never heard of that before. What is it used for? It's actually a radioactive material that they use for for actually medical stuff, radiating people, but also for starting nuclear plants. I would have thought lithium. It's not. It's way low on the list compared to californium. Anyway, so if you're just hanging around and you've got, you know, an ounce of californium, you're going to do fine. You'll do fine. If you have fingers left after bringing it in, wherever you bring it. I don't know where you'd bring it. You see, precious metals are precious because they bring great value. How many of you would be disappointed if you were to receive 20 ounces of pure silver right now? Nobody would. You'd get lots of money for that pure silver, right? Here's what Proverbs 10, verse 20 says. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. It's valuable. But the heart of the wicked is of little value. Did you know that iron is actually one of the lowest valued elements that you can find? Iron. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is just iron. There's value to our words. What value would you put to the words that come out of your mouth? Where would you rank them? Low or high? So wise words are valuable. Second of all, wise words are truthful. Proverbs 8, 6 through 9 says this. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Pastor Paul Tripp, if you've heard of him, he's a well-known speaker, author, pastor. He says this, why is lying such an abomination to the Lord? Because every lie is rooted in idolatry. I lie because there's something more important to me than the honor and the will and the plan of God. If you want to know how much idolatry is in your life, look at the way you bend and twist the truth for some pleasures, for some benefit, other than what the Lord calls you to. Wise words are truthful. Think about it for a minute. Who do you go to when you're looking for the right way to go? Who do you go to? What if every time you punched in an address in your Google Maps or your Google or your Apple Maps and it would bring you to the wrong address? Every time you pulled it up, it would go to the wrong place. How many times would you use that app? Maybe twice. I'd maybe give it a second try. But probably never after that. Because you're looking for truth, and the truth is giving you different directions. It's not leading you where you need to go. You will never use that again. We want to be told the right thing and then to believe the right thing in order to walk the right way. If you want wisdom, you must learn to listen to it from the source of all truth. If you want to know wisdom and live a wise life that's worth living, you got to be able to hear what the truth is and you got to live according to it. You see, Jesus is that truth. He is that truth. John 14:6, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God, it says in 1 Corinthians 1. If Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God, you will not go wrong by following the way of Jesus. So I ask you, how truthful are your words? How honest are your words? Can others believe what you have to say is true? So wise words are valuable. They're truthful. Third, they're gentle. They're gentle. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Have you ever found that in your life? Where you said something that maybe was more harsh than it needed to be? And then did they calm down? Probably not. They got bigger, right? I've mentioned this to the kids as they were growing up because they would bicker, and then one would go higher and bigger and bigger, bigger, and it just would blow up about nothing. And they'd come to me, Dad, she did this or he did that. And I'd say, hold on. Now, how did you respond to that? They would say what they did. And I said, now, did that add gas or water to the fire? Our responses. A gentle answer can turn away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Our responses can stir up anger or it can calm the problem. If the words you spoke today were on a scale of 1, it says, I said 1 to 10, but actually -5 to +5, where would they be? Negative 5 being harsh and 5 being gentle as a little duckling, chick. Where would your words land? One way to know is to assess the attitude of the listener. Because a gentle answer turns away wrath. Is the person you've spoken to or have been speaking to, when you're speaking, do they get silent? Do they kind of get angry-eyed? Do you find them walking away? Are they dismissive? Maybe you can tell that they're thinking about how wrong you are. You may need to ask yourself, have my responses been very gentle? Maybe you need to work toward wisdom and attempt a gentle answer in the future. Because wisdom, the words of a wise person are gentle. And number 4 of the words of a wise person, that's it. And the last one is that the words of a wise person is constructive. They are constructive. Hebrews 3:13, I've mentioned this before. This is one of my favorite verses, is one of my life verses. Encourage one another to daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have an opportunity to use our words to build others up. Here's another one, Proverbs 10:21. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. The words of the godly encourage many. How constructive are the words that you use? You see, a hammer can be used for a variety of uses. I use a hammer all the time at my job. They can be used to tear things apart, but they can also be used to build things up. So words, my friends, are a hammer. Will you use them to build up or to tear down? Will they be constructive? Proverbs 26:21. As charcoal to embers and wood to fire, so a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. I'll read it again. This is again Proverbs 26:21. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. I have a charcoal grill at my house. I have it on my deck. I have this, I've got this mat that's fireproof. So if anything comes out, it goes on the mat and we're okay. But it's on my deck and I use it all the time. And I use actual lump charcoal. So it's this, it looks like burnt wood coming out of the bag. It's not compressed charcoal briquettes. It's actually looking like burnt wood. And I put it into this chimney and I light it, and over time it heats up and then it burns, and I pour that in, and that's my start of my grill. I love it. I love this grill. You see, it's interesting because it doesn't take all that time for it to ignite. So I ask you, how quickly do you add to conflict? When conflict is right there and you got the charcoal right there, are you a match ready to light it? Just waiting for an opportunity on Instagram or Facebook or even family drama, maybe issues at work. Are you right there to try to ignite it? We have to be careful. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only let things come out that are beneficial for others, those who are listening. How much of your talk would you be embarrassed of if someone you respect were to overhear? How much of your conversation would it change, or the way you talk, because someone you respect is right there? What if you changed it so that only constructive words come out of you? How difficult would that be? No more bashing your boss or your in-laws or the government. No more bashing your neighbors or your ex or your ex's new other. I think wisdom would require this of you, and I think wisdom would require this of me. Some final thoughts on wisdom and our words. First of all, choosing wisdom is a choice. You can go the way of wisdom, or you can choose not to. We know, based on what we read, that the way of wisdom leads to life. But the way away from wisdom leads to ruin and death. Choosing wisdom is difficult. It's not easy. The way of wisdom is difficult. You see, becoming wise does not happen on accident. You must practice being wise in order to become wise. You must do what a wise person would do in each and every situation, whether you want to or not. Eventually, you will find the great value in choosing wisdom, which makes choosing wisdom in the future even easier. It's like a muscle you've got to flex. You cannot drift into a wise life, but you can ruin a life with one foolish turn. Friends, what are you going to do with this? Will you choose to be wise, even if it's difficult? What is one thing you're going to do this week to become more wise than you were this past week? What is one way you're going to change either what you say or what you listen to, that you would be walking one degree closer to Jesus and living a life of wisdom? See, that's one degree. That's what it's all about, is walking a little closer to Jesus. My friends, I know that you can do it. We can do it. We can do it together. How different would your life look if you chose to live more like the wise person? Let's take a moment. Let's pray. And then I'd love to hear any feedback you may have. Father God, I'm grateful for this opportunity to dig into your word. Good opportunity for me to think through and pay attention to the things that I'm listening to and reading and the things that I say, how I say it. Lord, I want to live a life of wisdom. I want my friends to live a life of wisdom. Would you help us? We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. Jesus, the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, impress in our hearts the way of Jesus in every situation. Would you give us an opportunity, Lord, to take a breath when our tongue is ready to lash out quickly in harsh tones, harsh attitude? Would you give us the opportunity to be silent, to think and take a breath and choose the way of wisdom? And Lord, if we're used to hearing these things that are just not of you and not going to lead us to the life of wisdom and life and wholeness, Father, would you give us conviction and strength to say no to those things? That we might have a long life of living wisdom, even if we say no to something difficult now. Help us, Father. We want to live, and we want to live well. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.